What's up, people? It is Monday, April 10th. My name is B. Hill, and this is the Just My Opinion podcast. So let's talk. Oh, a lot has gone on in the past week, but first let me wish you a late happy Easter. Yesterday was Easter Sunday. I hope you had a wonderful Easter. I had a chance to stream my church service and spend time with the family. Had a really good day yesterday, and I'm hoping all of the Christian hypocrites had a good day while they were worshiping a brown dude from the Middle East that liked to help people. I had to put that in there because it's just so many religious hypocrites out there. And let me start by talking about my stepdaughter. Love her to death. She's 24 years old. And she was here over the weekend, so I got a chance to spend some time with her. And she was telling me about her grandmother. I love her grandmother to death, but I think her grandmother is a hypocrite. And so my stepdaughter is a huge fan of K-pop music. I've never really listened to it, and hey, that's her thing. And that's actually why she was in town, to attend a K-pop concert. And apparently she has K-pop posters at her house, in her bedroom, and her grandmother went into the room, saw the posters, got some oil and prayed over the posters and asked her if she still loves Jesus. And I think that's a bit extreme. Her grandmother's Pentecostal. She doesn't wear makeup. Whenever I've seen her, hair is always up in a bun, doesn't wear pants, and I don't think she realizes all she's doing is pushing her granddaughter away by being so extreme. I think they do have one TV in the house, but growing up, because I've been in this young lady's life for the past 8 or 9 years, so when I first met her, she was like 11 or 12 or something like that. And I've been a father figure to her since, and will always be. But she has her own thoughts, and she went off to college. She has a very diverse group of friends, and she's very accepting of anybody. And what irritates me about some Christians is, especially the evangelicals, is how they do not live the Christian values. And what I mean by that is, like, speaking of what I just said as far as worshiping a Middle Eastern man of brown skin who liked helping the poor, their actions contradict those tenets by God, by Jesus. They don't like helping the poor. And if Jesus were alive today, they probably would not accept him. And it's just the hypocrisy all over again. And I was just reading an article about something that happened here in Dallas back in February. There were 29 kids rescued and 59 adults arrested in a huge child porn investigation. And the adults included, you know, all walks of life, police officers, firefighters, paramedics, clergy, and I didn't see one drag queen listed. So it's the hypocrisy there is, I've said this before, I've never heard of a drag queen molesting any kids, but you worried about them reading books. But I've definitely heard about religious leaders and all types of people committing horrific crimes against kids. And just today, it was revealed that the Dalai Lama was caught kissing a little boy on the lips and asking this little boy to suck his tongue. That's absolutely disgusting, but not surprising. You know, I've never been one to hold religious figures or leaders to such a high standard that they're infallible, because they're still human. So when you find out a prominent pastor or somebody has had an affair, it doesn't surprise me because they're human. You find out they're stealing money from the church, it doesn't surprise me because they're human. But too many people put these religious figures on such a high pedestal, they're devastated if something happens. And to hear about this from the Dalai Lama, who's supposed to be this such a huge religious figure, it doesn't surprise me. I think it's disgusting. And of course he apologized, but you never should have happened in the first place. But I'm not surprised at all. And then last week, Trump was indicted in New York. He had to show up in court. He's charged with 34 felonies. And keep in mind, there are going to be other charges or indictments coming soon, I'm pretty sure. Because I think the other cases, the documents case and the case in Georgia about the election tampering, I think those cases are probably stronger. But also, with this case in New York, with Stormy Daniels, people have already went to prison behind this. So I don't see how he wouldn't face charges or be convicted, honestly. But at this point, who knows? And then Don Jr. posted a picture of the judge's daughter to social media, who's presiding over that case in New York. And to me, that's a disgusting thing to do, because we all know what kind of followers they have, extreme nutcases. And if something happens to that young lady, I hope all hell breaks loose for them. And hopefully something can be done before that. There should be some type of a violation for doing that, or intimidation or something. Because it's just, these people have no shame in what they do and their tactics. And I think as the trial gets near, it's only going to get worse. The threats will increase. And I think it's just going to get worse. And then Jim Jordan continues to try to stifle the investigation by issuing subpoenas to people involved in litigation for this particular case, which he has no jurisdiction to do. And this is from someone who defied a congressional subpoena himself and just ignored it. And this is what happens when you do not hold these people accountable. Because with Trump not holding him accountable for anything he's done up to this point, he continues to get away with stuff. That's why we're in the position we're in now. And with Jim Jordan and the rest of Congress who has something to do with January 6th, you know it, you have the documentation. By not holding these fools accountable, you get people like Jim Jordan, who's trying to use Congress to push his political agenda. And he shouldn't even be there. He should have been expelled a long time ago, along with a bunch of other people, especially those that were involved in January 6th. This has been 2 years of what the public sees as inaction against these people. Now, of course, I have no idea what's going on behind the scenes, but as of right now, it's been 2 years of nothing. They continue to get away with stuff. They continue to try to ruin our democracy. And this is what you get when you do not hold these people accountable immediately. It's been 2 years. There's, in my opinion, no excuse for this. They have no fear, and all they'll do is just continue to peddle their lies and discredit the judicial system, and you're kind of proving them right. And they'll continue to try to get away with anything they can because they see that there's no repercussions for their actions. And, you know, our political system is just broken, in my opinion. The Tennessee House expelled two young black members last week for violating the decorum rule. So basically what they did was spoke out of turn before being recognized in the chambers when they had thousands of their constituents there wanting to voice their concern over the lack of action on gun violence. and there were actually three Democrats who spoke out and protested with their constituents, two young black men in their 20s and an older white lady in her 60s. All three of them were up for expulsion. Guess which two got expelled? The two black dudes. They were expelled from their position that they were voted into. And the older white lady, she was allowed to remain. And watching some of the expulsion hearing, the way these old white men were talking to them, as if the sense I got is that they wanted to tell them, basically, you stepped out of line. You need to know your place, and that they have the power to do something about it. And you've had people within their Congress that have done a lot worse than speak out of turn, and they're still there. But the extreme lengths that Republicans will go through to get rid of people for speaking their mind is just crazy. Tennessee is nuts, and there are other states that are just as crazy. But the reason Tennessee will probably never do anything about gun violence or even entertain any gun legislation is because Smith & Wesson, they're actually moving their headquarters to Tennessee by the end of 2023. So they're not going to do anything to mess that up. And also, as of right now, the two young men who were expelled could be appointed back to their positions until a special election is held. But the Republican Congress there has threatened the two districts that they'll withhold money and funds from them if they are appointed back to their rightfully elected positions. I mean, I wish there was just a blanket set of rules for every state across the board, because the way they run their legislature is just so unfair. I was watching a news article about how their votes happen in their legislature, and they do it by voice. So the camera only shows the person that's leading the vote, and he'll ask, you know, all in favor, yay, all in favor, no. And you can clearly hear a louder version than the other, a yay or a nay, but he'll just say the yays have it because they sounded louder. And there were several cases where people disagreed with something that he gave to his own political party side. And there's no way to, he wouldn't allow people to individually vote. So it was just, it's just crazy. And then I saw just recently Idaho has decided not to use student IDs as form of ID to vote. So they're trying to make it harder for young people to vote. But I do have a little light at the end of the tunnel, in my opinion. But I may not be around to see it, because this young generation that's coming up now, they are tired of this shit. Just looking at how many people, young people, were protesting in Tennessee, wanting to do something about gun violence, they are the future. And I think the future is going to be bright in about another 15 to 20 years as these older white Republicans start to die off. These young people are galvanized, they're excited, and I think they're ready for a change. So I think the future eventually is going to be bright, hopefully. I'm not wrong about that, but I just don't think it's going to be within my lifetime. Not to say that I won't be here 30 years from now, but I won't really benefit from it. But I feel good about the young people that are coming up, but it's just so tiring day after day to feel like you have to constantly fight stuff. You know, the racism and everything is just so, the laws that they're trying to pass, I'm just tired. It's a fight every day. And it may not directly affect me in my everyday life, but overall, it does. Because when you start passing laws that can affect me, people look like me, my loved ones, things like that, it's going to take a toll. But our political system is just horrendous. And I just, for the life of me, cannot understand why people are so enamored with power. And the fact that they just don't want to see equality. Just because somebody else has the same rights as you does not diminish the rights you already have. It doesn't make sense to me. And then, I don't understand why people are so against inclusion. Coors Light, or Coors Brewing Company, did a campaign with the transgender woman and added a rainbow flag on some of their cans, and people have gone freaking nuts. And of course, we know who those people are. They're buying beer and running it over with their car. It's like, you already paid for it. Who cares if you drink it or not, dumbass? It's just dumb. And then Caitlyn Jenner spoke out against Coors for doing an advertisement or a collaboration with the transgender woman. And Caitlyn Jenner is a freaking transgender woman. I just don't get it. I cannot understand the mentality of these people. Candace Owens, who's one of the most self-loathing people in the world, she had an issue with a clothing brand using a disabled person in a wheelchair in one of their ads. They're trying to be inclusive, saying that their brand is for everybody. I don't see anything wrong with that. But she went out of her way to say how ridiculous it is. Why did they have to use a disabled person? It's like, what are you losing by an independent company including people? I just do not get the issue people have with inclusion. It makes no sense to me. I don't get it. And then one of the biggest stories from the past week or two was the LSU women's basketball team that won the national championship by beating Iowa. I watched most of the game. It was a really good game. I think pretty poorly officiated at times, but LSU won. LSU, mostly minority team. Iowa, non-minority team. Iowa has a monster player, Caitlin Clark. She had a great Final Four. She had a great championship game, but they lost. And the biggest story after this game was Angel Reese, who plays for LSU, taunting Caitlin Clark by doing the John Cena "You can't see me" motion and pointing at her finger, indicating that she was going to get a championship ring. And people went nuts, calling her disgraceful, calling her a thug, calling her ghetto. But Caitlin Clark was doing the whole John Cena thing throughout the tournament. At least in two games specifically, she did it multiple times. Caitlin Clark talks a lot of trash. She told one opponent, "Shut up, you're down by 15 points." It's trash talk. But people saw her as strong, as good for the game. She's just competitive. Angel Reese does the same thing. She's ghetto. She's bad for the game. And of course, we know why. And one dude posted a video and specifically said, "Yeah, Caitlin Clark, she did do it first, but..." Then tried to tear down Angel Reese, a black young lady. So it's, no matter what we do, it's never good enough. or we're going to be held to a different standard. Just like Tennessee, the two young black men just spoke out of turn without being recognized. They get kicked out of the legislature for that. But you had multiple people do worse than that. I mean, from domestic violence arrest to drunk driving arrest, nothing happens to them. Angel Reese, the exact same movement a white player did, she gets the backlash. White player gets nothing but kudos for being competitive. The ESPN did a whole segment on her competitiveness and her doing these type of things. But yet the black girl, she gets the backlash from it. And but that's what we've been dealing with for forever. And it's not going to change. It's just not going to change. And then University of Connecticut, men won the men's national championship. And, I mean, the game was boring. I watched a little bit of it. I think it had one of the lowest ratings ever. But their student body tore Connecticut up after they won the championship. I mean, was in the streets, turning over cars, breaking into stores, breaking windows, damaging property. Barely even saw it on the news. But if that would have been Black Lives Matter protests, something like that, all over the news with these thugs, and we know how it goes. I mean, that's everyday life for us. What else did I want to talk about? Oh, I talked about tornadoes last week and how bad they were. For the life of me, I will never understand why people feel the need to sit there and videotape tornadoes. And watching one video, this lady was standing by a door in a store videotaping it, and you could hear somebody saying, "I don't think you need to be standing there." The tornado hit and almost sucked her out of that door. Her husband had to grab onto her arm and hold her because she was getting sucked out of the store and almost caught in the tornado. And there were other videos of people waiting till the tornado get right up to their house and then run and try to hide it. And a lot of people were injured because of that. And it's like the need to take these videos and risk your life for this stuff is just crazy. And that leads me to this week's verbal middle finger. That goes to a guy by the name of Alex Bowman of Vancouver, Canada. And this man witnessed a man get stabbed. And the guy that got stabbed stumbled into a Starbucks. What did Alex do? Did he help him? Did he call the paramedics or the police? No. He took his phone out and started videotaping himself with the body and saying, "This dude just got stabbed. He's dead." As if it was something to brag about, and posted it on social media. You posted somebody's death and murder on social media for clout, for clicks and views. So you definitely deserve the middle finger. You deserve all the bad karma you can get for doing that. If you don't want to help somebody, that's one thing. You know, you don't want to get involved, that's one thing, which I disagree with that. But to videotape it and stand next to the body while this dude is literally dying, and the man did pass away, and you're taking pictures and selfies with the body, and this man was stabbed in front of his fiance and young daughter. And this need to be a social media influence or a star, it's just out of hand. And with that, I saw an article about another social media person who got shot filming a prank. And I have zero sympathy for these people, because some of these so-called pranks, you should never put your hands on somebody else, especially if you don't know them. So if you're out there just to get these clicks and views, and this dude that got shot will probably use that to his advantage and you know, use that as part of his next set of skits or whatever you call them. It's just stupid. Hopefully he has learned his lesson, but a lot of these people looking for social media fame, they don't learn their lesson. But Alex Boger, middle finger to you. Go to hell, dude. That's weak. And I hope you get the bad karma you deserve. And the quote for this week is, nothing that is for you will require you to act out of character to get it. Alright, that's all for this week. Thank you for listening. Till next time, God bless. Peace.